Hello and welcome to the No Dusty Bibles podcast, where we delve into just two chapters of scripture a day at a sustainable, rewarding pace. I'm your host, Heather, and I'm an author, speaker, and Bible teacher, and I'm joined by my co-host, Hannah, who is the director of all the things here at the Rescued Letters Collective.
Hey everyone, we're here to guide you through your daily Bible reading, bringing insights, encouragement, and a sense of fellowship right to your ears. If you would like to receive weekly emails for Bible reading, sign up at therescuedletters.com/no-dusty-bibles or click the link in the show notes below.
Whether you're starting your day, taking a break, or winding down, join us as we explore God's Word together. Let's dive into today's scripture and find the hope and wisdom waiting for us there. Well, hey friends, today we are in Luke 7 and 8. After he had finished speaking in the hearing of the people, he entered into Capernaum. A certain centurion's servant, who was dear to him, was sick and at the point of death. When he heard about Jesus, he sent to him elders of the Jews, asking him to come and save his servant. When they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying, "He is worthy for you to do this for him, for he loves our nation, and he built our synagogue for us." Jesus went with them. When he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I am not worthy for you to come under my roof. Therefore, I didn't even think myself worthy to come to you, but say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man placed under authority, having under myself soldiers. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned and said to the multitude who followed him, "I tell you, I have not found such great faith, no, not in Israel." Those who were sent, returning to the house, found that the servant who had been sick was well. Soon afterwards, he went to a city called Nain. Many of his disciples, along with a great multitude, went with him. Now when he came near to the gate of the city, behold, one who was dead was carried out, the only born son of his mother, and she was a widow. Many people of the city were with her. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Don't cry." He came near and touched the coffin, and the bearer stood still. He said, "Young man, I tell you, arise." He who was dead sat up and began to speak. Then he gave him to his mother. Fear took hold of all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people." This report went out concerning him in the whole of Judea and in all the surrounding region. The disciples of John told him about all these things. John, calling to himself two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, "Are you the one who is coming, or should we look for another?" When the men had come to him, they said, "John the Baptizer has sent us to you, saying, 'Are you he who comes, or should we look for another?'" In that hour, he cured many of diseases and plagues and evil spirits, and to many who were blind he gave sight. Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John the things which you have seen and heard, that the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. Blessed is he who finds no occasion for stumbling in me." When John's messengers had departed, he began to tell the multitudes about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man clothed in soft clothing? Behold, those who are gorgeously dressed and live delicately are in king's courts. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' For I tell you, among those who are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptizer. Yet he who is least in God's kingdom is greater than he." When all the people and the tax collectors heard this, they declared God to be just, having been baptized with John's baptism. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the counsel of God, not being baptized by him themselves. To what then should I compare the people of this generation? What are they like? They are like children who sit in the marketplace and call to one another, saying, "We piped to you and you didn't dance. We mourned and you didn't weep." For John the Baptizer came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say, "He has a demon." The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, "Behold, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners." Wisdom is justified by all her children. One of the Pharisees invited him to eat with him. He entered into the Pharisee's house and sat at the table. Behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that he was reclining in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster jar of ointment. Standing behind at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and she wiped them with the hair of her head, kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw it, he said to himself, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have perceived who and what kind of woman this is who touches him, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." He said, "Teacher, say on." A certain lender had two debtors. The one owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they couldn't pay, he forgave them both. Which of them, therefore, will love him the most? Simon answered, "He, I suppose, to whom he forgave the most." He said to him, "You have judged correctly." Turning to the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered into your house, and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my face with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You didn't anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But one to whom little is forgiven loves little." He said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" He said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Chapter 8. Soon afterwards, he went about through cities and villages, preaching and bringing the good news of God's kingdom. With him were the 12 and certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities: Mary, who was called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, Susanna, and many others who served them from their possessions. When a great multitude came together and people from every city were coming to him, he spoke by a parable. The farmer went out to sow his seed. As he sowed, some fell along the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the sky devoured it. Other seed fell on the rock, and as soon as it grew, it withered away because it had no moisture. Other fell amid the thorns, and the thorns grew with it and choked it. Other fell into the good ground and grew and produced 100 times as much fruit. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Then his disciples asked him, "What does this parable mean?" He said, "To you it is given to know the mysteries of God's kingdom, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those along the road are those who hear, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are they who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, but these have no root. They believe for a while, then fall away in time of temptation. What fell among the thorns, these are those who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and they bring no fruit to maturity. Those in the good ground, these are those who, with an honest and good heart, having heard the word, hold it tightly and produce fruit with perseverance. No one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a container or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand, that those who enter in may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be revealed, nor anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Be careful, therefore, how you hear. For whoever has, to him will be given, and whoever doesn't have, from him will be taken away even that which he thinks he has. His mothers and brothers came to him, and they could not come near him for the crowd. Some people told him, "Your mother and your brothers stand outside, desiring to see you." But he answered them, "My mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it." Now on one of those days, he entered into a boat, himself and his disciples, and he said to them, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." So they launched out. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. A windstorm came down on the lake, and they were taking on dangerous amounts of water. They came to him and awoke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are dying." He awoke and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. Then they ceased, and it was calm. He said to them, "Where is your faith?" Being afraid, they marveled, saying to one another, "Who is this then, that he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him?" Then they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is opposite Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, a certain man out of the city, who had demons for a long time, met him. He wore no clothes, and didn't live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What do I have to do with you, Jesus, you, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torment me." For Jesus was commanding the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For the unclean spirit had often seized the man. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and fetters. Breaking the bonds apart, he was driven by the demon into the desert. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered into him. They begged him that he would not command them to go into the abyss. Now, there was there a herd of many pigs feeding on the mountain, and they begged him that he would allow them to enter into those. Then he allowed them. The demons came out of the man and entered into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. When those who fed them saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. People went out to see what had happened. They came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who saw it told them how he who had been possessed by demons was healed. All the people of the surrounding country of the Gadarenes asked him to depart from them, for they were very much afraid. Then he entered into the boat and returned. But the man from whom the demons had gone out begged him that he might go with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your house and declare what great things God has done for you." He went his way, proclaiming throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. When Jesus returned, the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. Behold, a man named Jairus came. He was a ruler of the synagogue. He fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come into his house, for he had an only born daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitudes pressed against him. A woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her living on physicians and could not be healed by any, came behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. Immediately, the flow of her blood stopped. Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitudes press and jostle you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus said, "Someone did touch me, for I perceived that power has gone out of me." When the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him, declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason why she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. He said to her, "Daughter, cheer up. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." While he still spoke, one from the ruler of the synagogue's house came, saying to him, "Your daughter is dead. Don't trouble the teacher." But Jesus, hearing it, answered him, "Don't be afraid. Only believe, and she will be healed." When he came to the house, he didn't allow anyone to enter in except Peter, John, James, the father of the child, and her mother. All were weeping and mourning her, but he said, "Don't weep. She isn't dead, but sleeping." They were ridiculing him, knowing that she was dead, but he put them all outside, and taking her by the hand, he called, saying, "Child, arise." Her spirit returned, and she rose up immediately. He commanded that something be given to her to eat. Her parents were amazed, but he commanded them to tell no one what had been done. All right, friends, these are some of my favorite chapters in the book of Luke that we just read together. I hope your spirit is encouraged just as mine was just in reading those with you. So here are a few things to think about and ponder as you go about your day. Number one is this idea of faith and authority. And I invite you to contemplate the encounters that Jesus has had with individuals in these passages who demonstrate great faith, like the centurion and the woman with the issue of the blood. How does Jesus respond to their faith? And what does this reveal about his authority? How does their faith inspire you to trust in Jesus more deeply today? The second thing to think about is the parables of God's kingdom. And I want you to think about the parables that Jesus uses to teach about the kingdom of God, such as the parable of the sower and the parable of the mustard seed. Jesus often taught in parables. So what do these parables reveal about the nature and growth of God's kingdom? How can you actively participate in advancing the kingdom of God in your own life and community today? And finally, I invite you to consider challenges to discipleship. So considering the challenges and sacrifices associated with following Jesus, as depicted in the encounters with the rich ruler and the demon-possessed man and the Gadarenes, why do these stories teach us about the cost of discipleship? What do these stories teach us about the cost of discipleship? And how can you surrender your own desires and possessions to follow Jesus a little bit more closely in this day? We'll see you tomorrow for chapters 9 and 10.
Thank you for spending part of your day with us here at the No Dusty Bibles podcast. We hope today's reading has encouraged you and brought you closer to understanding the heart of God.
Don't forget to join us for the next reading. And if you're looking for more resources or want to connect with our community, visit us at therescuedletters.com and find us on social media at Rescued Letters.
The No Dusty Bibles podcast is produced by the Rescued Letters Collective, a united front of women's ministry endeavors with a shared vision to help women everywhere cultivate a richer faith. Our mission is simple but transformative. Make the Bible not just available, but wholly accessible and deeply meaningful for every woman who seeks its wisdom. If this podcast encouraged you today, we would love for you to leave a rating and review and also share it with a friend. Until next time, I'm Heather.
And I'm Hannah.
Reminding you that every page turned in the Bible is a step closer to God.
We're rooting for you.